Hello, and welcome to Big Dating Energy. I am Jeff Gunther, licensed professional counselor. This is my, I think, eighth attempt at recording this intro. I just want to let you know that it usually takes me 10 to 20 minutes to try to record an intro that I feel good about. And so far, this intro is going well, and I hope that I don't have to record another one, because I kind of get into that space of just like, come the fuck on, just make this one perfect. I don't have a script. I'm just sort of ad-libbing. And the problem is that, like, I talk really fast. I don't know why I do this. It might be like a little fueled by anxiety. I just like have a lot to say, and I hate the people that like talk really slowly. It puts me to sleep. So because I talk really fast, sometimes I stumble over my own words. And then I'm just like, oh, that's no good. We're starting again. Is this interesting information? I'm not quite sure. Today, I'm talking to Chris Corsini. He is one of my favorite content creators on Instagram. He is an astrologer, or is it astrologist? Ugh, I can never remember. It's one or the other. It's the other. One of them is wrong, and the other is right. Every month, Chris Corsini, at the beginning of the month, gives like a 10 to 12 minute reading for each zodiac sign, and I am obsessed. It's so good. It's such a great, lovely way to start out your month, kind of being like, this is what I'm going to be looking out for. These are the things or the lessons or the experiences that I'm going to have. And, you know, I feel like I kind of want to start this intro over again, because there's just sort of like I died out a little bit. But I'm not going to do that. And I'm going to be a role model for all of you and just be imperfect and just sort of like put out what I want to put out there. Also, I feel like I'm running out of time. I have a really busy day, so I can't just like keep recording this over and over again. If you feel like you're getting a lot from me and how vulnerable and transparent I am, then can you give me a 5-star review? And I know that you're hearing this and you're like, yeah, okay, he wants a review. Like, we're skipping over this part. But really, take out your phone. Just take it, pull it out of your pocket, pull over in your car, take the phone out and just tap that 5 stars. And if you really love me, if you really want to give me, if you want to like boost my self-worth, write a little review about how much you love this podcast or how handsome you think I am. I'll feel really good about myself. Also, I wrote a book called Big Dating Energy. It comes out July 9th. It is so fucking funny. I've been reading it currently. This is my maybe 10th time reading it. It is so good. It is so readable. You're going to love it. And I'm going to be recording the Audible version of it very soon. And I know that they're going to tell me that I need to slow down and talk at a normal pace. So I'm going to try to do that for the rest of this. I just tripped over my words. I really want to record. Okay. I'm not going to record another intro. Chris Corsini has donation-based workshops that I highly recommend. They're so good, and you will love them. You should follow him on Instagram. You should give me a 5-star review, and you should open your mind to this interview, because you're going to get so much out of it. Thank you for being here. Here we go. All right, Chris Corsini, it's good to see you. How you doing?
It's good to see you too. It's good to be here. I'm good. Yeah, today was a nice sunny day here in Portugal. So,
is it? Yeah, it's a nice. It's a not nice rainy day here in Portland, Oregon, and we might get like an Arctic blast, which means that there could be snow on the ground, which means that Portland will shut down if it starts to snow.
Oh no, that's one thing I don't miss about Canada. It's the snow.
Yeah. Well, I know you, and I think everybody else knows you from Instagram, because you make the best. I think like usually at the start of every month, you do like a 10 or 12 minute like prediction for each star sign. And I watch those religiously. They're so good and so entertaining, and we love to see it. Can you tell everybody what your sign is, just to start?
Yeah, so I'm a Gemini sun, and my rising is Libra. My moon is in Cancer, and I actually have like a lot of my planets in Cancer. And for those listeners who know what a progressed chart is, I'm actually a progressed Cancer. So I've got a lot of cardinal water in my chart, which I think lends to a lot of the like intuitive abilities that I have too. And a lot of the tears, yeah. I cry a lot.
Yeah, I don't. So, like, all the things you just said, I don't know what you're talking about. So, I want to kind of like break those things down. I'm a Capricorn Sun, a Taurus Rising, Virgo Moon, which I heard is like the best one there could ever be. So, I just sort of lucked into that. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know if that's correct, but I think you could definitely get yourself into some trouble or into some fun, depending on how you want to look at it. I think the Capricorn Sun is always nice. Capricorn, for any Capricorn placements, if it's your Sun, your Rising, your Moon, just for any of the listeners, it's a very dedicated sign. It's a hardworking sign. It's like not afraid to get down in the mud and get dirty. And same with Taurus. It's actually crazy that you're all three earth elements. So there's four elements in astrology, and your Sun, Moon, and Rising, you have one of each earth element. So the cardinal earth, which is Capricorn, and this is like drive. This is like, I'm going to go after it. I'm going to do what I want to do and just like dive in. And then you've got the Virgo, which is flexible, and it's a mutable sign. So you can change gears, you can shift perspectives, you can understand things really well, especially in the mind, because Virgo is connected to the planet Mercury. So you'd be really good at like communicating. Virgo, with a Virgo moon, it can be a little cold sometimes, maybe a little on defense. But then once it opens up, it wants to be like of service, and I want to do everything for the people that I love. And you probably self-sacrifice and overgive. So boundaries for you would be really important. And then with a Venus, with a Taurus rising, Taurus again is really hardworking and dedicated and loyal. It can be loyal to a fault. It can be committed to the wrong things at times, but it's definitely someone who's going to like stand by you through thick and thin type thing. So again, it's just really important for any of those earth signs to figure out like, are these people good people to be standing by, or should I maybe cut the cord and move forward because this is quite toxic or something? You know what I mean? So it can be a bit of a tricky, mix.
Yeah. I think I would imagine it is. I can experience myself as being like really stubborn, feeling like I'm always the right one. If you try to get in my way when I'm trying to get something done, then I will just like plow through you sort of thing.
Absolutely.
So there's like... There's like, and I like want to be like an anchor for me and for other people that are around me, which sort of works well as a therapist, right? Because my clients can feel anchored with me. And there's just sort of like this feeling of stability and comfort that I really crave and that I'm good at creating. Is it like not the best to have like those three signs, all earth signs in my Sun, Rising, and Moon?
I think it really depends on like what you're doing or, how you show up, how you present yourself. Like there's obviously a high vibrational expression and a low vibrational expression of all signs. So I don't want anyone to get caught up in this like these signs are always bad or these signs are always good, because right. There's a lot to look at when you're looking at someone's unique birth chart. Like a Taurus energy will sometimes be so hard-headed and so committed to what it wants that they just plow through everything and they don't give a shit what other people want. But if you've got a moon in Virgo, like Virgo is a mutable sign. So Virgo does want to hear the other side of the story. Virgo is adaptable and flexible. And again, Virgo is ruled by Mercury. So the planet Mercury and Virgo have a connection. And Gemini is also another sign that is ruled by the planet Mercury. So if you really look at Gemini or Virgo individuals, like they love to chat. They love to brainstorm. They love to hear other people's perspectives. They're really good at sort of switching teams. Like, okay, I'm on this side. And then wait a second. I actually think what you said makes more sense. So I have to agree with them now. And they can be flexible. Pisces is like this as well, because Pisces and Sagittarius, they're also mutable signs. So I think if you're a therapist, which you are, it's good because you're going to be able to help people sort of see the bigger vision with this like Mercury influence, and you're going to be able to help people work through different perspectives, different emotions, and then you're going to be able to hold it all together with all of this earth element. So I think it's really good, especially for someone like you in your position. But I don't know if it's good to always have, the top three placements being your sun, your rising, mm-hmm. which is sometimes called your ascendant, and your moon mm-hmm. sign, always the same element. Because if you were like a Cancer sun, a Pisces moon, and a Scorpio rising, like that's a lot of water. So you could probably be so emotional all of the time. You're going to be like led by your emotions. And as you know, as a therapist, like your emotions are not always real. They're valid, but it doesn't carve sure. out the reality of the situation. So when people are led by their emotions, sometimes it brings them into a direction that they shouldn't necessarily go in just because they're so emotionally reactive. So I think, mm-hmm. What I would like to see, which I think would maybe be a little bit easier to navigate life with, is something that is a little more balanced, like maybe some earth, right. fire and air all at once, or, you know, water, fire and earth, or however you want to mix it up. But just because people can get really stuck in one way of thinking when they're all earth, it's very physical. Or mm-hmm. if you have a lot of earth in your chart, like you're probably very drawn to like the senses, which can be like very sensual or really into food or cooking or gardening or just, you know, mm-hmm. massages. And you like nice aesthetic things, like really of the earth realm. So, again, there's no good or bad, but it's just, it's how it expresses itself and who it's being expressed through, their level of like consciousness and sort of where they're coming from it.
Interesting. At, you know? Can you tell us a little bit about like, what's the difference between like the sun rising and moon signs? What do we need to know about that?
Yeah. So the sun sign is, it represents your identity. It represents like mm-hmm. more of the male conscious energy. So this is sort of like your natural talents, and it's like how you shine. Like if you think about the sun, it's the brightest star in our galaxy. You cannot miss it. So this is like when you walk into a room, like how do you show up? What is the personality, the energy that you're bringing into that room, and how do you shine? This is your sun sign. This is also at times just called your star sign. When you look at the moon, it's more of the like feminine energies. More of the like unconscious energies, the receptive and emotional realm that we sort of play in when we're looking into our intuition, when we're getting really good like creative downloads, when we're opening ourselves up to receptivity, or when we're falling deep in love. Like this is going to be really triggering our moon sign placements. And then when you're looking at your rising sign, this is oftentimes called your ascendant. And this is like how you embody who you are and what you're meant to do here. So like the work that you're meant to do through this lifetime, and how you're going to really follow the path of ascension, which is why it's called the ascendant. So like I am a Libra ascendant. So my entire mission this life is really to connect people and to serve community and to find balance and partnership and whatever. So I believe your rising sign is a Taurus. So you're really here to like create foundation and structure and really plant down and probably learn how to navigate your senses in a way, because like Taurus again is ruled by Venus, which is all about sensuality and pleasure and all that stuff. So like you may find that there are certain things, like maybe sometimes you overeat or you overdrink or you like sex a lot or you like to shop a lot or you like, and there's probably things that you're like, okay, wait, I need to pull these back, or I need to create boundaries around giving or boundaries around how I use and utilize my resources and sharing and stuff like that. So you're going to want to look at your rising sign to understand sort of what you're moving through in this lifetime. And then, mm-hmm. of course, you have like Mercury, which represents communication. Your Venus is going to represent deeper feelings and relationships, creativity. Mm-hmm. You'll have Mars, which is like sex drive and action and all that sort of stuff. So there's a lot of other things we can look at, but those are the top three. Those are the ones that everyone wants to know about. Your sun, rising, and moon, for sure.
Should we not pay very, like, should we like spread it out and not like focus so much on the sun sign at least?
I think for people who really want to do the work and are really here to like understand how to work with astrology as a tool to expand their life in every possible direction, that yeah, you should look at all of your placements, because you can look at like your midheaven, which is a point, and that will show you sort of where like your career should be based and what you should be working towards. You can see what's in your 10th house, and this is more public. You can look what's in the 4th house, and this is more private. So you'll begin to understand like, oh, that's why I feel this way in relationships. That's why I like to present myself in this way. That's why I feel called to be in this line of work. And you can start to piece things together. But when you really want to start looking at the deeper levels of this stuff, you want to look at like your Chiron, which is an asteroid, I believe. And it is in a place that represents like where a lot of our deep wounds are and where we will do a lot of healing in this lifetime. But then a lot of that healing turns into the lessons that we learn that we then teach to other people. So my Chiron is also in Cancer with a lot of other planets, and a lot of my traumas, a lot of my issues, a lot of my stuff comes down to like the family, the private space, the intimate connections where I've been either taken advantage of or abused or whatever. And through this sort of traumatic experience, I've gone through some of my deepest, darkest lessons. But coming out of that time, I've been able to gain so much wisdom that I can now help other people through those similar things in some way. So this is a good way to sort of look at like where your Chiron is, because you're going to learn, but you're going to probably teach from those lessons as well at some point. So you can really dive into this stuff in so many ways. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is really crazy. It feels like we like really sort of only focus on something that's like just sort of, I don't know, almost like it feels like pop psychology a little bit. If you're only focusing on your sun sign or like the three major signs or something, like this shit can go really deep.
Totally. And I think that when people are watching like their horoscopes on my like YouTube or Instagram or wherever, like I always tell them, like, go watch your sun, moon, and rising, because your sun sign might really, really hit for your career, for what you're working through, what you're moving through. But then if you're having a relationship issue, you should probably watch your moon sign or where your Venus is. So again, my Venus is in Cancer. So I watch the Cancer readings if I'm connecting with another reader online somewhere. And those always have messages for my love life. So you can really start piecing together, because we're so multi-layered and multifaceted. It's like you can't just watch your sun sign and expect that like all of your needs are met, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I think a lot of signs that like get shit, or maybe it's just me being like very earthy. A lot of signs that get some shit is like the Aquarius signs and the Geminis. Why do they get so much shit? What's going on with them?
I find that Geminis, I'm a Gemini, so whenever everyone's like, oh, what's your sign? And I'm like, oh, I'm a Gemini. And they're like, oh, what? And I'm like... Okay, first of all, you don't even know me, so like calm down. And like Geminis get a bad rap for being two-faced because we are the twins. But like what we also are is flexible and malleable, and what we can do is connect with thousands of people because we can shift our presentation, we can shift our language, we can make people feel comfortable, we can make people feel welcome. And that can be someone who's a millionaire, that can be someone who has nothing, that can be someone who's like a show pony or someone who wants to like hide in the back of the room, like a wallflower. And it's like, so I wouldn't say that Geminis are sneaky or liars or whatever. Of course, we all have the possibility of expressing ourselves in a low vibration. And if you want to look at the low vibration of a Scorpio, like they're probably going to be super fucking vengeful and they're going to want to burn your house down. But like, so is an Aries, you know? And I think, or a Sagittarius is just going to like wake up one day and be like, I don't love you anymore. They're not even going to tell you. They're just going to disappear. And it's like, okay, but that also comes down to like, what type of human being are you? Like, are you just a shitty person? Mm. Because if you are like operating in survival mode, if you're operating in fight or flight, if you have tons of trauma, you haven't worked through it, it's like, it doesn't really matter what sign you are. You're going to probably just be a dick. But for the people who are actually working through these things, like, I don't think that, I think there's a level of like illusion to this duality that like some signs are good and some signs are bad because it's just not true. Right. And Aquarius is amazing. Like Aquarius is super brilliant. We're now moving through the age of Aquarius. We are entering a time where I believe Pluto is about to enter Aquarius, and this is going to help the entire collective rethink things because Aquarius energy is all about understanding a system and then tearing that system apart and rewriting that system in a way that can benefit the collective. And that's a high expression of Aquarius, but a low expression of Aquarius is like total dystopia and like categorizing everything, compartmentalizing everything, complete disconnection from reality and abuse and oppression. So it's like, of course, like, yeah, Aquarius can be terrible, but like Aquarius can also be like the hippie who's hugging all the trees and singing like Kumbaya with all the people type thing, you know? So I don't, I don't like to think that any one sign is bad. I, for a long time, was like not into Aries individuals because I found them very abrasive. And then as soon as I sort of made up my mind in that way that I was like, I just don't like Aries individuals. Like the next five people I met were all Aries and I fucking love them all. I work with three of them. And then like later in the conversation, I found out that they were an Aries and I was like, wait, what? So it was like the universe just being like, you don't even know what you're talking about, you know?
Yeah. That's the thing is that like in my family, there's like three people in my family that I'm that are close to me that are all Geminis, and we've had so much conflict. And so coming out of like my family, moving away when I got older, I was just like, fuck it. I'm going to stay away from Geminis because I obviously have a really hard time interacting with them. And so now I'm just sort of like whenever a Gemini comes into my life, I'm projecting all this bullshit onto them. And and like societally, culturally, I feel like we like to kind of shit on Geminis. So it's important to remember that there's like a high vibrational sign. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I think what would be interesting is to look at the chart of the individuals that you are having these conflicts with. Right. Because if there is like an energy around the south node, this would be like a karmic point that you are clearing karma with these people. Or maybe they have like a Mars. Like if you were to overlap their natal chart with your natal chart, which is like a synergy reading or synastry reading or whatever it's called, we'd be able to see like, is their Mars on your Chiron, which means their actions are directly triggering all of the stuff that you need to heal in this lifetime. So there could be this like inter sort of celestial conversation that needs to happen so that you guys can clear a lot of karma. But what's also important to realize is that if you're having these issues with all of these Geminis, for example, these Geminis are air elements. So they're all about the mind and perspective and communication. It doesn't mean they're right or they're wrong. And again, like what really is right or wrong or truth or like there's so many layers to all these things. But what is crazy is that you have so much earth in your chart that you're going to be very like, no, no, no. This is how I see it. These are the facts. This is what happened. This is what you said. This is how I felt. This is what it meant. And for somebody who's like, got a bit of like a sly tongue, like a Gemini, they'd be able to say, that's not really what I said. And you misconstrued that. And they know how to talk themselves out of shit, which can be really frustrating for somebody who's like, I have the fucking receipts right here. Don't tell me you didn't do this, you know? Right. So I could see where there could be friction between like such a mutable light energy and so much like dense earth energy that's like, no, we're looking at the facts right now. And then you're kind of talking to like two different people, two different languages. So I think that that's important for people to realize too. If you're like a Sagittarius and you're trying to convince a Cancer of something, it's like, no, like the Cancer is all feeling and it's cardinal water and it's driven by emotion. And a Sagittarius is like, here today, gone tomorrow, super flexible, tons of fun, you know? So you're just speaking two different languages, and that can be really frustrating. So yeah, I don't blame you for not getting along with air signs sometimes if you've got that much earth in your chart, for sure.
Yeah, there was also a time in my 20s where I dated three girlfriends in a row that were all born on June 1st. And that just felt like a real, like the universe was really trying to fucking like send me some sort of message.
Yeah.
And I think it was after that where I was just like, I'm done. I've had enough Geminis. I don't need to fucking do this anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. I think there's definitely something to look at there if they're all on the same birthday too.
Yeah, it was a little spooky. Is there, as like somebody who I have the Capricorn, Taurus, and Virgo, and then I have like even more Capricorn throughout my chart. So very earthy element. Should I like seek out other earth signs just to kind of like chill out with, or should I like find my complement? Like, what should we do about that?
I think, yeah, it's important for everyone to like you want balance, right? You want a chart that has a little bit of everything, so to speak, so that the energies balance each other out in some capacity. So if you've got a lot of Capricorn in your chart, like I'm also, like for those of you who don't know me, like I'm also a psychic and an intuitive. So if you talk to other astrologers, there might be some conflicting conversation that comes up with things that I say just because of what's sort of like channeling through while I'm discussing, but I use primarily astrology and tarot as my two tools. But for someone like you, I think it would be nice to have some Capricorn placements in there or some other cardinal placements. So like a Cancer, for example, like Capricorn and Cancer are both cardinal energies. They're opposite signs. So there can be a bit of tension there, but tension can create passion or sexual tension. You can also understand each other's perspectives because there's a bit of a traditional element to Capricorn and to Cancer, whether it's maybe non-traditional, quote unquote, but it's like you can respect certain structures, certain rules, certain boundaries. And I think that makes Cancer feel safe. That makes Capricorn feel seen and heard. And together they can balance out this sort of divine masculine, divine feminine energies. And you've got like the Capricorn energy is like the father of the zodiac, really. It's like that divine masculine. And then the Cancer is like the divine feminine, sort of like the mother, the grandmother, the caretaker. So something like that could be really nice for someone like you. I think for listeners who are like mutable signs, so if you're a Virgo, a Gemini, a Sagittarius, or a Pisces, like you're going to probably want to be with someone who has a little bit of mutability in their chart. So Pisces, Gemini, Virgo, Sag would get along well with other Pisces, Gemini, Virgo, Sag because they're going to be able to keep things light and fun. However, if they have like a Venus or a moon placement that is maybe Capricorn or Taurus or even Scorpio or Leo, something that's a little more solid and can kind of hold it together. Because when you get a Gemini and a Sagittarius together, it's like chaos because you've got this like mutable fire, which is like a forest fire. And then you've got this like heavy wind, which is the Gemini. So it's just going to amp up the fire and create a lot of mess potentially. It can start really, really fast and it can end really, really fast. Whereas if you are, let's say, a Sagittarius and a Virgo, then the Virgo is still an earth energy. So it's going to want to be more grounded. It's going to be able to hold things together like a glue in a little bit of a better way. So yeah, I would definitely say like there's definitely opposites attract. So if you look at where your sign is and you look in the opposite direction, we all have an opposite sign. So if you want to look at that, I would say maybe try to date one of those people to see if it balances out. Sometimes it can be too much tension, too much difference, depends how the sign is really being expressed based on their level of like consciousness and self-awareness. But what a good rule of thumb is also is in your chart, so for anyone listening, if you are like I'm a gay man, so I would look at where Mars is in my chart because Mars represents the divine masculine energies, so to speak. It's a very sexually driven energy, and that is tied down to the masculine energy, more or less. So my Mars is in Cancer. So it would be good for me to try dating a Cancer, because that's where my masculine is, and I'm attracted to men. So that's where it is. So if you were a straight male, you would want to see where Venus is. So if you're a straight male and Venus is in Leo, then try dating a Leo, because you're familiar with that feminine energy. And the same with everyone else. So yeah, depending on if you're attracted to men, it's Mars. Women, it's Venus. And then where that falls in your chart, that would be a good sign for you to try to date, I think, and see how it goes, because you're going to be familiar with the vibes.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so there's like a sense of familiarity there that feels comforting, nice. And if you find maybe like your opposite, it sounds like there might be some like a balance that can be created, and maybe compromise that can be had, and like healing that can be created.
Totally. Yeah. And I think that like sometimes the opposite sign again is like really what that sign needs, because like Capricorn is, again, Capricorn's a lot of amazing things. And what I want to talk about is where Capricorn needs more balance. So like Capricorn can be way too like a workaholic. They can be a perfectionist. They can be really hard on themselves. They could be someone who's like constantly like, why are you always biting your nails? Why are you always doing this? Why are you always doing it? And it's like, can I just fucking chill? Like, why are you always on me like that? So for a Capricorn to be with a Cancer is so like, I just love everything about you unconditionally. I am so, and again, like you need to get through that exterior, because the Cancer is the crab, right? So like they've got this really hard shell. They don't really trust everybody. That's why a crab always kind of walks sideways and always approaches from the side to see like, can I trust this person? I don't want them to see me coming. I want to make sure I can drop my boundaries here. But then once you open up to a Cancer, it's like, I am yours. Everything you need, I will give you. I love you so unconditionally. So the Capricorn needs a little bit more of that like softness in their life. And you can kind of go through the wheel and see where like Leo, which is very about me, 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 needs a little bit more about the community, which is Aquarius. And Aquarius, which is so collectively driven, sometimes needs a little bit more independence in a way that makes them feel more certain about themselves. So yeah, I think you could look at the opposite and see that that's probably something that you could integrate. And if you find that in a relationship and you guys are both in healthy places, then yeah, that can become something really nice for sure.
Huh, interesting. Yeah, can we kind of actually like go through the star signs, each one? And can you give like just a little bit of like a sort of a dating survival guide for each one? The pros and cons and things to look out for when you're dating them?
Yeah, so I would say if you are going to be dating an Aries, there's going to be a lot of play, a lot of teasing. So you're going to want to kind of like push them a bit, like, you know, maybe like nibble, bite them a little bit, like with consent, of course. But like it's going to be kind of like fun and flirty and like rough and exciting and like those types of like that playful teasing they would really like. I feel like if you're going to go on a date with them, keep it like really exciting and kind of, you'd want to like dare them to do something. Like they're kind of on the edge of always getting in trouble. So I think that that's nice. If you're dating a Taurus, and this doesn't need to be just the sign. This can be like if their sun, moon, or rising is in that, right? So if you're dating someone with a Taurus placement, like you do not want to change their plans. If they set plans, like just go with the flow, let them do their thing. Agree to whatever they say, because they're never wrong. They're just gonna think that like, what do you mean you don't agree with me? So get ready for a bit of a challenge, for some stubbornness. But like, you can also understand that like somebody who's that stubborn, once they choose you, they're so fucking loyal to you, and like they'll want to stand by your side, and they're willing to put in the work. So just making sure that you guys are on the same page and you're not trying to convince them or change them of anything is gonna be really helpful. And give them some compliments. Like they love to be like, Taurus is like this big bull, but it's actually like this cozy little lamb type vibe, because it's like ruled by Venus. So they just want to be like cuddled and coddled sometimes. With Gemini, like you want to keep it super fun. So anyone who has a Gemini placement is going to love to be like entertained. They'll want to be laughing, you know, fun facts, like just having things to talk about, like, oh, I just read this book, or I just watched this podcast, or like, they're all about information sharing. So I think anything like that is always going to keep them really interesting. And sometimes they'll say shit that you're just like, I don't know what you're talking about, but just kind of like laugh along and be like, sure, sure, yeah, like whatever. Because they don't want to be like put on the spot and feel, they want to feel isolated or alone. Like Gemini is the child of the zodiac. They're like the inner child in all of us. So you don't want to say something that's going to make them feel like, oh shit, was that weird? Oh no, does this person not like me? You know, like they're actually just a cute little kid type of energy. With Cancer, I would definitely say like, you need to talk about your feelings. You need to ask them about their feelings. Like, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about that? I feel like you need to be really careful also with what you say, because Cancers take everything so personally. And I have a lot of planets in Cancer, and like, I see this in myself. I'll be like, oh, do you want some tea? And someone will be like, no, I'm okay. I don't really like that tea. And like, part of me is like personally offended that I'm like, what? Like, you don't like this tea? Like, is there something wrong with me? What? You're not going to take something that I'm offering you? Like, it turns into this, like, no, they're just literally not thirsty. Like, chill, you know? Mm-hmm. So be careful with what you say to a Cancer, because they'll also never forget that, like, 6 months ago you said that you didn't like their shirt and, like, they're pissed. But they're also ruled by the moon, and not a lot of people talk about this enough. Like, they love nice things, luxury, soft fabrics, good food, nice shopping, like hair done, nails done. Like, that's very Cancer energy. So anything that can make them feel nice, or you compliment them as well, which obviously brings us into Leo, which is the same thing. Like, praise them, tell them they look fucking beautiful, tell them they're amazing. Like, a Leo placement is gonna love to know that they've got your attention and that you're just like hanging on every word. I also feel like, don't like be on your phone in front of them, because they're just going to be like, you're in the presence of a fucking queen right now. Like, what are you doing on your phone? You know? So they can also get a little easily offended. Unless you want to like take a photo of them from your phone, then they'll be like, for sure, let's go for it. But I think, you don't want to be distracted around them, and you do not want to make them wait. Same with that Taurus placement that we talked about earlier, and a Cancer, really, like, do not make these people wait. A Gemini is cool to like, wait a little bit, they'll keep themselves busy. But yeah, definitely not a Leo. With Virgo, you definitely want to ask them their opinion. Like, what do you think about this? And not necessarily like, how do you feel about it? But like, do you think this is wise? Do you think this is good? Do you think this is smart? Because a Virgo is definitely going to have feedback. Like, a Virgo is going to give you feedback. Any Virgo placement is going to be able to see something and be able to understand why it doesn't work, why it's great, but overall how they could still improve it. Virgo is also like, they can be a little harsh, but they don't necessarily realize it and they don't mean it. So like, don't take it personally if a Virgo is like, oh, I don't like your hair today. Like, it looked better yesterday. Like, they're just trying to, for whatever reason, communicate that like they have a preference and they don't necessarily know how that comes across sometimes. So they really just want the best for everyone. You know, they'll tell you your problems. You can tell them their problems. And I feel like it's a really nice space to just speak. It's like a Gemini, like Virgos want to chat. But they also notice everything. So make sure that you don't have like anything in your teeth when you're going on a date with them, because that's all they'll stare at the whole fucking time. With Libra, you want to compliment them again on their looks, on how friendly they are, on how wise they are. Libras do everything really well. I would definitely ask for their opinion. I would let them know that it's just like, wow, you are so effortless with what you do. And it's like really impressive. And like, they're probably not even going to realize that they're flirting with everyone around them. They're a little bit of a social butterfly. So if they're on their phone, don't take it personally. It's like, they're probably just, well, hopefully they're not setting up their like date for the next day, because like, they're also like, they do like to date and like play around. But I think Libra is a cardinal energy, and Libra is also ruled by Venus. So when a Libra is ready to commit, or a Libra really likes you, they're like all in, which I love. Scorpio is someone who's going to dig. So if you're on a date with a Scorpio placement, they're probably going to ask you a lot of questions, and you might be answering all their questions, and don't get offended if they don't give you anything back. Like, they're very, very private. They're super wise. They can become a little bit obsessive at times, but they also like to know that people are like obsessed with them or like really drawn to them. So if you're dating a Scorpio, like they're definitely going to be happy that you're like super inquisitive about them. But you're going to want to like leave some mystery and stuff like that, because Scorpios love to investigate and love to look for things and love to like figure things out. So sort of being like dark and mysterious and sexy is going to kind of like drive them a little bit crazy. But yeah, I wouldn't say like try to beat them at their own game, because if you're just fully shut off, then like they might just be like, I'm not even going to try to crack this open. I'm just going to move on. So who is after Scorpio? We have Sag, right? Yeah. So right. Sagittarius, you're probably going to meet their friends really soon, or you're going to like your first date would be like at a party or something that's really social, or like this would be a really good idea. Maybe you think you're going to this one-on-one like cute candlelit dinner and he brings you to like a concert and you're just like, oh, okay. But you don't need to take any of that personally, because Sagittarius is just full of adventure. They'll probably want to have a few drinks. They'll probably disappear at some point. They'll probably text you 5 days later, act like nothing happened. It's like, I don't think it's something that they try to do or that they intentionally want to do, but I do find that a lot of Sagittarius individuals have deep, deep feelings because they're ruled by Jupiter. So it's this hugely expansive energy. So when they feel something, those feelings get like huge and they get really, really big. But then it's like, how could you disappear out of nowhere if you felt that way about me? And it's like, well, I don't really know how to communicate that, or I'm trying to like figure this out. Like they're just kind of pulled in every direction. They're great though. It'd be fun to have like a weekend away or whatever. Just laugh a lot. Don't take them too seriously. And don't be surprised if, again, you get ghosted. no offense, Sagittarius. with Capricorn, you're not going to want to dress like a bum. Like with Capricorn, they want to know that you've like got your shit together. So you're going to want to show up with like, you run the show. Like a Capricorn loves to run the show, and they're not going to be in like a highly competitive energy with everyone all the time, although they can be. But a Capricorn wants to know that like you show up, you're ready to pay the bill, you're ready to make the decisions, you're ready to like not even look at the price of the menu and just kind of, or tell the, like, I'll take whatever the chef loves, you know what I mean? Like this sort of direct, go for it, I've got this like big dick energy. Like that's such a turn on for Capricorns, because Capricorns are so big already that they want to see that someone else out there is on their fucking level. So they're going to be about like making decisions, providing things, and like money, money, money. Capricorns love money. So like I would definitely leave like a fat tip if you're on a date with a Capricorn, because they're going to look at that and be like, shit, like this person also knows how to treat people well. Capricorn is about like caretakers, you know? So I think this is nice. They don't show tons of emotion. And also, I want to say don't talk too much, because a Capricorn can kind of sit there and just be like, you're still going. Like, okay, you know? and then the last two signs we have is Aquarius, which can be an interesting experience to date, because I've dated a few Aquarius and like they need a lot of space, but then they, when they're ready to be lovey-dovey, they want to be so lovey-dovey, because they have that like nurturing, deep, collective, connected side of them. But it's like you don't know if they hate you or if they love you or if they're into you or if they don't even remember who you are. Like it can be kind of like, are you here? Are you not here? Do you like me? Do you not like me? And one moment you have this really beautiful flirty moment, and then like all of a sudden you feel this like almost disassociation or disconnection from the experience, because they can easily compartmentalize their feelings. So they might feel something for you and be like, oh my God, I really like this person. Great. I'm going to put this in a little box. I'm going to put that over here, and I'm going to talk about something completely different, and I'm not going to show any emotion, because when I put on my work hat, for example, my heart is not in my work hat, or my friends are not with my family hat, or my this, or like they can categorize things really well. So yeah, I don't know. I think they're also really into just like quirky stuff. Like you might be on a date with Aquarius who's like, oh, have you ever seen this movie? And they're like, I don't have Netflix. And you're like, seriously? You're like, do you need to? Sometimes you're like, okay, like join the rest of us with the, you know, they like things right, very different and outside of the box. But you can make them wonder. You could ask them just a lot of quirky questions and kind of like play with their mind, because they're going to absolutely love that. And then the Pisces, Pisces placements will likely fall in love with you immediately and create this entire fantasy in their head around like your wedding day and where everything's going to go. Or they're just going to be like, oh no, I didn't like this one thing. And then they're going to blow it up into like, that probably means this, 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 and this. So it's like, it can be a little bit crazy. But Pisces is also, they're so lovey-dovey. Like when they're in a relationship, they can be really, really romantic, which is really, really nice. This is going to be someone you want to probably talk to about your dreams, your aspirations. You're going to want to ask them about like, so where do you, not like, where do you see yourself in 5 years, but like, yeah, where do you see yourself going? What do you want to build in this lifetime? You know, the only thing is that like, you need to be careful. There's, I would say the same with Sag, maybe Gemini and Scorpio and maybe even Libra, but like Pisces can, they can want to get lost in drinking, in drugs, in sex, in like Pisces very easily disassociates from reality because they are ruled by Neptune, which is like fantasy and illusion and all of this sort of like in modern day astrology, they're ruled by the 12th house. So the 12th house is like the esoteric, the, spiritually ascended masters. And when you're leaning into like leveling up on a whole new level that just doesn't even connect with the earth around them. So Pisces can sometimes just like completely disappear, like in the middle of a conversation, like they'll be daydreaming and you're like, hello, come back here. So yeah, be careful with that. But yeah, if you told them like, you're someone I've been waiting for forever, they're going to be like, oh my God, me? It's like, they're cute. I do like Pisces energy. It's fun. Yeah. So
yeah, I love the Pisces. Uh-huh. I find my, like, I deliberately try to go for a Pisces or a Libra. There's just something about those signs that really do it for me. I think the Libra, like, the Libra always looks really fucking good. Like, they're so fashionable, the Libra, right? And the Pisces is just so emotional and sensitive and sweet. I love both of those things, yeah.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of earth, so you want something that's a little more, like, airy and flexible and movement, right?
Right, yeah. And those are the signs that I love to hang with or to date. Whenever you talk about all of this stuff, I'm just like, you're so fucking knowledgeable. You have like so much information. You talk so well. When did you like first get into astrology? And when did you even like first like notice that you had these sort of like intuitive abilities?
I feel like I just randomly fell into it. Like I just started watching readers, like tarot card readers or astrologers on YouTube. And then I started realizing like when people talk about astrology, I'm like, oh my God, I am totally feeling this on a subconscious level, on a physical level, on a mental level. And I'm just like, there is something here. Like these people are not just talking about like this bullshit. Mm. And people kind of like brush off astrology as like this woo-woo, like whatever. But it's literally like a map in the sky that just tells you when these trigger points are being hit, like you're going to feel that. And like, we can literally watch the moon pull the tides of the ocean in different directions. Right. So like, why would all of the other planets not have an influence on us? So I started to realize that there really was this deep connection between what I'm hearing and what I'm experiencing. And then I just started like becoming a little bit obsessive again. Like I'm a Gemini, so I love to take in information. So I just continued to take in more and more information. And then I've taken some online courses just like with random astrologers that I found. I have a lot of good astrologer friends. I've done a lot of personal readings with people who have read my chart and just understanding how they talk about it and the relationship between Saturn and hard work and karma and discipline and structure. And like you begin to build a language, and it's like anything else. Just the more time you spend in it, you start to really understand it. And it just honestly like randomly happened. I would say over the last like 10, 12 years, I've been really in it. And yeah, now I'm 34. So like mid 20s, I guess I started.
And when did you start reading tarot cards?
I had a tarot card deck when I was like 14. And then I remember like the death card came up once and I was like, oh my God, the death card, this is so terrifying. So then I like stopped. And then it wasn't until I went through this crazy, like dark night of the soul type thing where a lot of people get pushed into that because they're not waking up early enough. They're not waking up with the little red flags. So they need like a big cosmic slap in the fucking face. So when I went through that, it was time for me to like go get help and just like figure out my stuff. And I met Dawn, who was a Reiki practitioner and a Reiki master. He's a psychic and a tarot card reader. He's incredible. And it was his last day at this like clinic that I went to get help. And I just randomly chose like Reiki off of a menu. And then he said that today was his last day, but it was the end of our session. And he was like, I was told by my guides and my angels that like, I'm supposed to work with you. So I'm going to give you my card. And if you feel called, reach out to me. And then like 3 weeks later, I was like, whatever, I'll just call the guy. And then I became like his like intern or like mentee, I guess, really. And I started meeting with him for breakfast twice a week for like 2 years. And he just taught me how to really lean into my own gifts like a good teacher would. He was just asking me questions and I was answering, or he was getting me to read him and we would just like play. And he just entirely opened me up on all these psychic levels. And yeah, that was also around 24, 25 when I got into the astrology. So I think I was really at a time where I like needed answers and clarity because I was just like spiraling in all these really, really destructive ways. And it just kind of like happened. I don't know.
Wow. That's amazing. I've worked with a psychic coach to try to get more in touch with my intuitive abilities.
Yeah.
But the thing that like, that trips me up every time is that where we kind of get into this place where she's like, okay, let's play around and why don't you give me a reading? And I just shut down because I'm just like, I'm going to get it wrong. This is going to go fucking horribly. And I don't even want to play. Yeah. And so it doesn't feel like playful because now the spotlight is on me and I'm going to disappoint you. And I'm going to prove to myself that like, actually I can't get in touch with any of my fucking psychic abilities. So forget this. Like that is the thing that always gets in the way. I have no idea how to push through it.
I mean, you do really need to lean into the like, I'm just here to practice. I'm just here to play. So I don't give a shit. I'm just going to like say, and that's the thing is like, you need to just say what the first thing is in your mind. You need to just say what the first weird feeling is in your body. You need to just say what the first word is that they want you to say, because they're trying to channel with you and through you. And it's like, as soon as we start opening and trusting, then all of a sudden the channel begins to strengthen and open and everything starts to flood through, which is great. But again, for somebody who has a moon in Virgo and any Virgo placements, really, like nobody hates themselves as much as a Virgo can hate themselves because they're so overly critical of themselves first and foremost, and they want everything perfect. And you've got Taurus, which wants to prove that they're good and they're worthy and they're smart, and you've got Capricorn, which wants to be like the best at everything. So it's like you don't have a chart that really lends to a lot of like, I'm just gonna try this once. It's like, no, you're either gonna do it and perfect it from the beginning, or you don't want to be like trying, you know. It's like there's this like level of embarrassment around like, oh my God, people are going to see me not doing this well. And it's like, well, yeah, like that's how we get anywhere, is by sucking 1,000 times. Right. So I think, yeah, it's probably more of a mental thing. And again, you've got a lot of earth in your chart, but like at the end of the day, I haven't seen your whole chart, but at the end of the day, like we're all still intuitive beings. Like we're all naturally gifted and psychic, and like I'm sure you've thought of somebody and they've called you like 2 minutes later, you know? It's like we've all had an experience like that. So it is there, but it's like the intuition and the like soul, like they don't want to compete with the mind, and the mind and the ego wants to hold on to reality so badly. And like having that much earth, you're going to have that amplified. And then the Virgo is going to be like, you suck, you suck, you suck. So it's like, it's not easy, but just like, yeah, play with it as much as you can.
Yeah. How long did you get it wrong? How long did you have to like play around with it until you started to become a lot more accurate?
I don't even know if I would say that, like, we get it wrong. I think that we're just not fully understanding how the symbols or the feelings are meant to be interpreted. So it's like, it's not necessarily that it's wrong. It's that, like, we need to peel off all of these layers to begin to better understand what we're feeling and what we're meant to be talking about and what direction whoever wants to bring this conversation or this like channeled moment through. And like that shows up sometimes when you're just talking to like your best friend and all of a sudden you're like in the middle of this conversation, you're just like, holy shit, that was brilliant what you just said. And they're like, yeah, that was brilliant. And it's like, yeah, because you just opened the channel and you just trusted what was coming through and it flows, you know? So I think a lot of what I struggled with was similar to what you were saying, is like getting out of my own way, because I was practicing in front of this master who was like 65 years old and fucking brilliant and could like literally tell you anything about anything. And then I'm sitting there being like, oh my God, this is so impressive. Like, you want me to read your cards? Like, okay, so then what do? I just pull out a bunch of cards and I just started looking at the pictures and saying, like, what does this picture look like? Like, if I had to make a story about what I'm looking at, like, what would this story be? I'm just gonna like play with like the creative side of me and just like, okay, this looks like this person is doing that. And I think that these coins, because they're upside down, maybe you're reflecting on an investment or low self-worth or values or this or that. And like, you would just go through it. And at the end of the reading, he'd be like, that was fucking bang on. And I was like, seriously? And he's like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, so it's like in that space, I just began to trust that like whatever I want to say is coming out for whatever reason. And I'm just going to trust that. And it's nerve wracking when I'm doing like a live interview or when I'm doing something and I can hear and feel that I want to start talking about pizza, for example. And I'm like, this is a money manifestation workshop. Why the fuck am I talking about pizza? I don't want to do it. And it's like pizza, 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 pizza. So that I'm finally like, okay, you guys, it's like pizza. And as soon as I say that, I'm like, now if you think about pizza, it's a full circle and you've got all these slices and then you've got these layers of cheese and meat. And then I just start talking and I'm like, why am I talking about this? Why am I? And then eventually it all connects at the end and everybody in the room is like, oh my God, that was such a great like metaphor. And I'm like, I had no idea where we were going with that. And I was terrified the entire time, but this is why there's a level of trust needed in myself, in the guides that I'm working with. And like, that's how we like hone that skill. But I wouldn't say I made like 1,000 mistakes of this and that, because I also, I don't really know if I made mistakes, because we don't know what happened in those readings afterwards. Maybe they weren't mistakes at all, you know? So I think it's more about like, how do you speak to people? What language are you using? And being really aware also of like how influential some people are, and like you, like these people are going to hang on every word. You need to be careful because you have a lot of control here and this can be used to manipulate. And like, so I'm more on like a, I guess, psyche and psychic level, sort of like analyzing somebody to be like, is this like a fragile, really highly impressionable person? Because if so, like I have very specific word choices. Whereas if I was talking to somebody like you, who's like, you seem a little more grounded, you seem really like clear headed, like you could probably just take me saying anything and you would, be able to filter through it, you know? So yeah, that is more so where I'm concerned with like making mistakes.
Yeah. Got it. There's actually, you offer a lot of, courses and resources online. Can you talk about what you're offering these days?
Yeah, so we just launched our 2024 tarot forecast, which is amazing. I think it's like 15 hours. It's time stamped and there's chapter markers, so it's super easy to navigate. But I basically do a reading for the collective, so like the whole world for the year ahead. Mm-hmm. And then we break down the numerology and we do a reading for each month. And then there's a reading for your sun sign, your Mercury, your Mars, your ascendant and moon. And there's so much information there. So that is like our most recent release. And we have an astrology calendar, which talks a lot about how to understand astrology. So what the planets represent, And then we also dive deep into all of the transits that are happening. So Mercury goes retrograde. And when Mercury goes retrograde in the sign of Capricorn, for example, which he just did, that's a lot about thinking, rethinking investments of time and energy and structures and these types of things. So the calendar really breaks down all of those types of influences and what to do and what not to do. So that's a super helpful resource. Mm. And then those are more like digital downloads to watch. And I've printed mine out, and it's also the calendar this year is so beautiful. But I wrote that with like three or four of my favorite astrologers. So that is like a solid resource. And then I also do video workshops. So full moon and new moon workshops, those ones are always pay what you can. So they're just donation based, sliding scale. We have like an Aquarius mm-hmm. season, Capricorn season workshop, and there's a bunch of stuff on there, ebooks for learning how to do magic and set up your altar. And it's just kind of like whatever I'm into, I try to figure out like, how can I create something around this to give this to a million other people? Because like, these are helpful tools, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is awesome. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about you?
You can just Google my name, Chris Corsini, and mm-hmm. everything pretty much comes up there. We'll have a website. My Instagram and TikTok, I think, are the same.
Yeah.
I have a podcast also called Middle Ground that we're just right now revamping because I kind of took a year off while I was building this like social wellness club here in Lisbon. So yeah, if anybody's ever in Lisbon, you guys can come by Wheelhouse. It's like a cafe social club where we have classes and workshops and a Himalayan salt cave and treatments. It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. Yeah, you've got to come see it.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Chris, thank you so much for talking to me. I've been following you for so long, and it's like been so awesome to talk to you in person. And yeah, and next time I'm in Lisbon, I'll stop by for sure.
Please, I would love that. I'm actually opening up on my website, The Collective by Chris Corsini, which is going to be like people that I love to work with, people that are like thought leaders and just like influential individuals who have something good to say that resonates with me and like the mission. So yeah, if and when you're in Lisbon, we could film in the back room some sort of like collaborative workshop, yes. And we could do a podcast, and then I could add you to our collective and sort of streamline you through a bunch of our channels too, to just start getting like good information to other people, because I feel like there's so many amazing people online right now. And what I want to do is connect them all through a part of my website where it's like, these are all the other amazing people. Cause like, if people love me, well then you'll probably love the people that I love. And like, here you go. And we can start really, again, like Age of Aquarius, connecting people and bringing it all to the community. So I would absolutely love to shoot something there. And yeah, we have in-person workshops. So you could do a live streamed international broadcast of some kind. Like, it's a total vibe. Sure.
Cool. All right, Chris, I'll talk to you later.
Amazing. Thanks for having me. Chat with you soon.